Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome along to The Score, which comes to you ahead of the Easter weekend, and it's another busy one as far as sport here in the Northwest is concerned. Plenty happening. Of course, the All-Ireland Championship gets underway this weekend too. There are matches across the provinces to get us up and running. And here at home, there is no end of action to enjoy over the coming days. We'll preview a selection of that over the next hour, and hopefully you can stay with us. Coming up, we'll have football. There's rugby too. Letterkenny are preparing for a Gordon West Cup final next Tuesday evening, and we'll be joined by Patsy McGonigal to talk all things athletics, including the Ballyliffin Coastal Challenge, which is also on this weekend. But first up, it's Gaelic games, and among the standout games this weekend is at under 20 level. The Ulster Championship has reached the semi-final stages with Derry hosting Donegal on Saturday. Michael McMullen joins me on the line. Michael, Derry and Donegal, they actually met last night at under 20 level in the All-Ireland Hurling Championship. This weekend, it's the turn of the footballers at this age group, and it's a fixture that has been brought forward. The build-up then to what's an important game, probably overshadowed by controversy.
Yeah, it probably is, to be honest. And I suppose it all stems from a rule change at Croke Park, something that has been sort of changed in mid-competition, and it has left both counties chasing their tail. It's left Donegal, I suppose, because it's changed, it's brought it forward to two or three days, which will have messed up Leo McLoone and his players' plans. And I suppose the way it was sitting, it's going to mess up Derry's plans. So it's probably going to affect other counties as well. I see that Sam Callanan and Bob Toohey from Mayo were in their under 20 squad. So they probably should have left the rule alone until next year, because it's just going to open up a can of worms for everybody. And I suppose locally in Ulster, it has left Derry and Donegal, has left it a mess, essentially. And now that it has changed, to 2 or 3 days earlier, and it's helped Derry in the fact that they now are able to call on their 5 under-20s, and it's now left Donegal planning for a game earlier than they should have. So it's not ideal. Yeah. It's not ideal for anybody.
And just to explain then, Michael, what's happening, there has to be a satisfactory gap, I suppose, between fixtures and, to allow players who are involved in the senior panel some time to prepare for a senior championship fixture.
Yeah, there has. And I think, to the best of my knowledge, I think there was a rule brought forward by Wexford to the Congress. And I know from the Derry point of view that, and I'm sure other counties are the same, Marty Boyle, the under 20 manager, Rory Gallagher, obviously the senior manager, had a discussion. And the way that rule was put in place, it meant that you could play in the same week. Mm. So that was fine. They went with it. Derry probably have more under 20s than most counties in their senior panel, just by the way things are going with youth.
Yeah.
Then that changed. That changed to any window, to a 7-day window. So it basically left. You had the decision to make. You could either play for the under 20s or play for the seniors. And if Donegal were to get through, they would be in the same situation with possibly Luke McGlynn if he's back from injury, and Mayo would have, as I say, Sam Callanan and Bob Toohey. And I think Monaghan actually don't fall under it this time because they don't have anybody playing in both teams. So it's probably something that, if they had left it alone, I don't think it would have raised his head at all, and we would have just been going ahead as normal.
Well, Rory Gallagher has had his say on it, Michael. 5 of his players, I think, are from the under 20 panel, are in the senior squad as well. So you can understand why he would be frustrated that the powers that be, wouldn't have organised these fixtures a little better.
Definitely, and I think that was the issue. And I suppose it's well documented the way Rory operates with a small panel. And I know from talking to Marty Boyle, the Derry manager, he's more or less the same opinion. You have a small panel and you keep it nice and compact. And it's just difficult. What what would have happened from Derry's point of view, they either would have had done without their under-20s, which is not ideal. You have lads who played for Derry seniors all year, then not able to play for the seniors, which isn't ideal. You know, and at the end of the day, this is elite level of football. This is inter-county senior that Derry have, thankfully, from a Derry point of view, have got their act together and are now knocking around the top end for a change. Mm. And then, obviously, under-20 level, again, it's elite. You know, it is elite. But, you know, if you were in Liam McLoone's shoes or the Donegal player's shoes at the moment, you're thinking to yourself, hang on a minute, folks. We were planning for a Wednesday, and now we're not. So I think they should just have left it alone, the GA, and not change that rule until next year. And as I say, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
On the game itself then, Michael, Derry beat Fermanagh in their quarter-final. No disrespect to Fermanagh, but Donegal, I would imagine, will offer a sterner test.
They certainly will. I was at that game actually myself, and it was somewhat of a banana skin because of the fact Derry hadn't played together. You know, as much as the players were well prepared individually and they were in good physical shape, they had no collective preparation. And, you know, and it was probably the same with a lot of under-20 counties because of the scattered nature of it. But they played very well. And they definitely will face a tougher challenge. I know from interviewing Marty Boyle recently, and even from my own local knowledge of the scene, that a lot of people would look at Antrim and, you know, dismiss them. But the chat coming up to the game was that it was a very, you know, impressive Antrim team. And I remember jumping into the car in Rosslea that night to listen to it on the way home, and the venue was on and there was a penalty shootout. So that tells you all you need to know about the challenge that Donegal had. And I suppose Donegal, our road test, had to go to the well, they had to come back and they had to go through the penalties. You know, and if they can get Luke McGlynn back from injury, I'm not sure of the situation there. Like, I think he's, you know, maybe scored 1-1 for Donegal seniors in a couple of games. So that's the level of player that's there. Mm. So if he comes into it, that thickens it up. Whereas Derry's game was very comfortable once they got off to a good start. So both teams come in from completely different backgrounds. And the other thing is, Donegal will definitely feel that they've been wronged here in the fact that, number one, they had to play the game earlier and they lost the toss and have to travel. So you can just imagine how fired up that Donegal dressing will be. So it'll leave it a great game come Saturday.
Yeah. The fact that Tyrone are out, Michael, a surprise result in their quarter final losing against Down. Is it just, you know, a case now that the competition has been thrown wide open, or who would be your fancy bet at this stage?
Well, it probably has thrown it wide open, and the fact that they were champions, and you know that a lot of their key players back, Conor Cush, Rory Canavan, for example, just names off the top of my head that are back. I was surprised by that result. 3 years ago, Derry were all Ireland minor champions, but minor football and under-20 football are completely different. Mm. Like Derry, as much as they had a very good minor team, they've only played together once. And I'm sure Donegal is much the same. You know, under-20 levels, that wee bit disjointed, whereas minor is a standalone. On the performance on Rosslea, you know, Derry would definitely be the fancy team, but, you know, when's the last time the championship was won on paper? And I go back to that point I made that, you know, even like Donegal, like I noticed Peter Campbell did a piece in the Donegal Live, and, you know, the Donegal camp didn't really want to talk about it. So that would tell me that that's a camp that's, you know, they've got a cause now. So you can just imagine, how revved up they'll be, you know. And if they've went to extra time and they've went to penalties, they know what a tight game's like, and that's something they haven't experienced. So probably Derry are slight favourites for the championship, but it's all about who does the business and own bag. And I suppose between Monaghan and Down on the other side of the coin, Down had won Ulster quite recently under Conor Laverty. Monaghan have had 2 games played so far, and I was at the Ulster Minor final 3 years ago, and the Derry goalie made a save in the closing stages to win the game. And even the cabin manager Damien Donoghue, who goes to quite a lot of football, he says it was the most open minor championship there was. So that's about all we have to go on, really, on those 2 games. But the backdrop of this sort of controversy of the game change will probably add to the whole temperature of it, and it'll make it a completely, it's nearly like a game of its own, sorry, like a life of its own as such.
A home venue will be an advantage then, Michael. I know you've touched on the fact that, that Donegal will be fired up for this one, but Owen Beg, you know, Derry will have home advantage, and that's going to be a factor.
Definitely a factor. They train there. You know, the lads will have played club championship games there. There's no hiding that fact. You know, that's definitely... I remember when I saw the message come through, I thought Donegal have actually lost home advantage here as well. So it's definitely an advantage for Derry. And I suppose that from the Derry point of view, we're sure lucky in the fact that, you know, you've got Owen Beg and you've got Celtic Park. So it'll definitely be an advantage. And as you know, a lot of the club football's played there. Like, it's sort of... You know, it's a home venue, you know, and it's probably worth a point or two to them, I would imagine.
And before I let you go, Michael, you know, we can't let this evening go as well without mentioning Jim McGeever, a legend. Derry have lost a legend with his passing this week. You can imagine the tributes have been pouring in for a man who really left his mark on the game, both on and off the field.
Yeah, he in every way, like he was manager of Derry, he was their captain, he was a chairman at one point. But I think, you know, Gentleman Jim, I think that's popped up a few times today. And I think that's an unbelievable legacy to have, because you can talk about how many honours he had and, you know, the level at which he played, which, like, Derry brought out a centenary book in 1984, and I have it up in the house here, and you flick open the first couple of pages and there's that catch, and the caption under the picture says "the catch," you know, it nearly defined him. But when you see, like, Gentleman Jim, you know, that's just, you know, what a legacy, and I suppose what an inspiration he was to everybody. And even further afield from Derry, like, I saw people paying tribute to him who passed through St Mary's Teaching College in Belfast, you know, people from every county, and he managed them to win a Sigerson Cup. You know, and they wouldn't have been the fancied horse in the Sigerson Cup, they would have small numbers, and he went in there and he made a difference. And I think Derry's Twitter account today says, Derry, you know, Derry legend, you know, great, you know, giant of the game, you know, in every way. And a sad day for his family, his club, everybody that knew him, but what a legacy to have, you know, to be called Gentleman Jim. It's just amazing, you know, to have somebody like that that has represented Derry so well. Yeah. And the thoughts go out to his family and everybody that knows him.
Yeah, and I'm sure he will be in everybody's thoughts, you know, among the supporters who turn out at the Owen Beg on Saturday, and indeed the players and everybody connected with Derry GAA on Saturday ahead of that Under-20 Championship. I'm sure there will be tributes ahead of that game. Saturday's game then throws in at 4 o'clock, Derry against Donegal in the Under-20 Championship. Michael McMullen, enjoy the game on Saturday, and thanks for joining us this evening.
No problem, you're welcome, anytime.
That's Michael McMullen then. So yeah, that game, part of a busy weekend of Gaelic Games fixtures. As I say, the All-Ireland Championship at senior level getting underway this weekend as well. Plenty of big games to look forward to. Thanks to Michael for joining us on the programme this evening. We'll grab a quick break. Yeah, 17 minutes past 7. You're welcome back to The Score. I mentioned those All-Ireland Championship opening series of fixtures right around the provinces. First games on Saturday. There's games in Connacht, London against Sligo, and New York playing Leitrim on Saturday night. And in Ulster, Armagh against Antrim. That gets things up and running here. A 5 o'clock start for that preliminary round in Armagh. Well, these are exciting times for Letterkenny Rugby Club, going well in the league. They are back in another Gordon West Cup final and play Monaghan in the decider next Tuesday evening. And joining me in studio to look ahead to another big day for the club are two members of the team, Chris Digimas and Daniel Faulkner, are here with me. Chris, good to have you in. The final is on Tuesday, a quick turnaround after last Saturday's semi-final against Cavan. So I suppose how are preparations going? It's really, you know, time's against you.
Well, we kind of knew that was going to be the case. We sort of had a month break before the semi-final, so we put a lot of hard yards in them 3 or 4 weeks of training, and I suppose we kind of know now the final, but it probably suits us. We don't like too big a break without a game, so 8 or, what is it, 9 days turnaround, so we'll be happy enough. Training tonight again, so.
Right, right. So you'll be scooting out to the Glebe for training. Yeah. The win over Cavan, it was hard earned, wasn't it? Two sides who met on a brutal day weather-wise in Letterkenny. Thankfully, you managed to come through.
Yeah, well, I think we knew what Cavan were going to do. They go, they're physical, big physical team. They'll run at you, like, and we kind of banked on that, and that's what did happen. And I think probably our fitness that I mentioned we were putting in through the last few weeks probably shone out in the last 20 minutes.
Mm.
And we managed to get the job done anyway without any too many injuries or anything.
Yeah. And you know, listen, you're into a second Gordon West Cup final in a row, but you know, that's not an easy competition. That's never easy to go all the way to the final, because there's good sides in there and everybody wants to get a run out at Ravenhill, don't they?
Yeah, well, that's the prize is nearly more getting to Ravenhill rather than the actual cup.
Yeah.
I suppose the sense of occasion is slightly taken out of it this year, because last year we played on a Saturday, like, and we got a good day. Like, yeah. Win or lose, it's a great day. Like, you can celebrate it after or...
Yes, yes. And then it's handy for spectators to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, listen, you know what? We'll come back to that, because that is worth debating, isn't it? The fact that the game is on next Tuesday night. But Daniel, you were among the try scorers last weekend in that win over Cavan. I'm sure it was the score of the match. Tell us all about that score.
Oh yeah, I didn't have to do much for it, to be fair. I kind of just profited off the good work of my teammates. Got in a good position in 22 and just was able to break it outside to score.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were playing in last year's final.
Yeah.
You had to come off, I think.
Yeah, I was only playing briefly. Unfortunately, I got a head knock, so had to come off quite early.
Right, right. And I mean, that's the situation in rugby. You build yourself up for a big game like that, running out at Ravenhill, and then all of a sudden your game is over almost before it's even started.
Yeah, I just got my head on the wrong side of a tackle and had to go off. But I was thankful that the boys left on the pitch could pull through and win it last year. And it'd be nice to recapture that this year.
So last Saturday's result then against Cavan, I mean, the game in front of a big crowd, despite the horrible day down there, good crowd, bit of a buzz about the club and another good result in what's been a very good season.
Yeah, it's been a good season. I suppose we started kind of slowly this year, had a few difficult games. Bad result to Monaghan down there early in the season, but we had a few new additions through the year who helped us a lot. We had a new out half, Daff Green, come in, and we've really settled into playing a good brand of rugby, I think.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I was listening to Paul O'Kane on last weekend after that semi-final one, and you know, he's not losing the run of himself, let's put it that way. He's happy and content with where things are at with your team, but I think it's a rich blend of experience and youth and plenty of quality in there, and he's building a decent side.
Oh, definitely. I think even more so than last year. Like, there's no shadow of a doubt we're a better team than we were this time last year, but so are Monaghan.
Yeah.
But as you said, there is a great blend, like, of, unfortunately, I'm one of the older people now in the team and starting to feel the bumps and knocks, like, but there's great fellas in it. It's a credit to everyone in our youth system, what the club is producing, the talent-wise, year on year. Like, I suppose when Paul came in, he kind of changed the mindset in the club, and instead of, you know, players traditionally going off straight away to other clubs, maybe just stay around Letterkenny, and thankfully now we have something here for them to aspire to.
Yeah, and you mentioned the youth system. Mm. You know, any night that you go down there to those to the club grounds down at the Glebe, there's something happening, isn't there?
Yeah,
if it's not the senior team, it's underage.
Yeah.
There's ladies rugby
the ladies
as well.
And that's just growing week on week. It's Colley Farrell, it's a credit to him, like.
Yeah.
What he's doing with them, like.
And when that happens, whenever you have underage teams, Chris, their parents are coming down, some of whom might never have been down there before, and all of a sudden they're being introduced to a club that is well organised. You've got good people in the background doing all sorts of work, nice club room facilities, everything's positive.
Oh, it's what's happened in the last couple of years, but it's a completely, there's no one person doing everything, like, it's just, there's a lot of wheels turning. Like, I'm on the committee as well, like, and a lot of hard work going on behind the scenes, like.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, Daniel, the season going well. Away from the Gordon West Cup end of things, you guys are also preparing for this playoff against, it's Donaghadee, is it?
Donaghadee, yeah.
So what's the situation there? Are they going to be a difficult test?
Yeah, it'll always be tough going up there. It's Donaghadee. They had a few tough results this year, but I think they're a better side than the results make out. And we know we're in for a physical battle when we go up there. And just hopeful we can come out on the right side of it. Promotion's very important for us this year, I think, to kind of get up into the higher league and hopefully keep building and improving as a squad.
Yeah, because that's what you want, isn't it? You want to be challenging at the top end of the table.
Yeah.
And if you do achieve promotion, I mean, not to be looking too far ahead, but the challenge then would be to stay up there.
Aye, absolutely. But we'd be hopeful with getting promotion, we kind of build confidence in the lads who are there. And hopefully it might go a ways to attracting some of the talent we've produced back to the club as well, which would be a big help.
And you're enjoying your rugby, I'm sure. It's all the more enjoyable when you're in a team that's doing well.
Yeah, it's great, great rugby, and it's nice to play for your home club as well and enjoy your rugby locally.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Well, listen, Chris, we'll end on, a controversial note, because this final now, next Tuesday night, you know, it's on an evening where it's a holiday in the north, isn't it? It's not necessarily a holiday here in the south. So two sides from outside the six counties going up to play in Ravenhill. It's not ideal, is it? Because the players are all going to be working, your supporters are all going to be working that day. So getting to Belfast is not going to be straightforward. And I wouldn't imagine Monaghan will be too happy with this either.
No, I spoke to people in Monaghan, there was one fella I spoke to, he's actually on an Ulster committee, he had kind of fought the case. He had heard about it before we did, and he kind of fought the case. But I think the compromise they made was I think the game was originally penned for the afternoon. So I think he got it changed to 7 o'clock, and then we started giving out about it, and then I think they moved it on to 7:30, so we got half an hour out of it. But
Well, that's the first victory.
No, I think that as an oversight, it was a mistake, but it kind of shows how much thought has gone into maybe the team's another side of the border.
All joking aside, it's a cup final. It's for some of the players involved, it might be their one and only time to get a run out.
Yeah,
you know, at the home of Ulster Rugby, and it's an occasion to be savoured.
Well, we did go back to them, and they said if we prefer another venue, they would consider looking into that. But it is, as you say, the occasion is going to Kingspan, and I suppose we were there last year, so it's kind of the novelty's worn off for us. It's just for me, Tuesday is kind of nearly like a training game for Donaghadee, because I want to get out of this league.
Yes. Right. So
well beaten Monaghan, obviously.
Yeah. Well, listen, you want to win both games, don't you? You want to end the season on a high, because it's a long, tough campaign. I know you guys have put in a huge effort. Paul O'Kane, as you say, has got yous in the right frame of mind. Yous are buying into it. And to end the season with a couple of good victories, Daniel, that would just be brilliant.
Yeah, it'd be great. It'd kind of round off the season nicely for us, and the cup would be a nice boost. But I think we're all focused on promotion as our main priority.
Okay, well, the boys, we'll leave it at that. Chris Digimus and Daniel Faulkner from Letterkenny Rugby Club, best of luck now next Tuesday night, and thanks for joining us this evening on the Score.
Cheers.
And you're welcome back to the Score. And just before we leave rugby, there's a Gordon West plate competition decider on this weekend as well. Strabane play Lisburn. And thanks to Chris and Daniel there for joining us in studio to look ahead to that Gordon West Cup final, which is on next Tuesday night, and confirmation of the time, 7:30 at Kingspan Ravenhill, Letterkenny against Monaghan, a repeat of last year's final. Well, we're into the new League of Ireland campaign, and things are settling down now in both divisions. Gavin Cullen joins me on the programme this evening. And Gavin, away from the league action itself, we have the first round of matches in the FAI Senior Cup this weekend. Cockhill Celtic once again involved. And this Saturday, you play host to St Mochta's. Home advantage, yes, Gavin, but the opposition, well, they could hardly be more difficult.
Yeah, obviously it's brilliant to be at this and this level of competition, and it's great for the club and great for the local supporters to actually get to see us at home against this level of opposition. Obviously, the home draw is were great and we're delighted to get it. But St. Magda's are probably well, they're top of the Leinster Senior League at the minute, and we've played them before on a few occasions, so they know us and we know them quite well. And it'll be two fairly evenly matched teams as well. But look, it's a great tie to be involved in, and we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah, and the prize for the winners is a place in the second round, and then you go into the hat along with the League of Ireland clubs.
Yeah, look, it's a great carrot there on the stick, and it's a great caveat to go into the new season then over the summer of having that fixture to look forward to. Over the last few years, last summer we went to UCD in this round and the second round, and before that we had Longford and Limerick and Cork Hall. So they're great fixtures for the club, and look, long may they last at getting these opportunities against these teams. So, look, again, St. Magda's going to be a really tough nut to crack, but hopefully by the end of the day on Saturday we're on that hat, you know.
Yeah, and it's the latest in a run of big games for you, Gavin. I mean, one game at a time and all that. St. Magda's first up now on Saturday. How are things within the squad? Everybody okay for this one?
Yeah, look, apart from the long-term injuries of Adam Duffy and Paddy Slevin, we've a clean bill of health, and everybody's chomping at the bit, to be honest. You could see training has stepped up a level over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Obviously, players want to play and want to play in the big matches, and it's great at this stage of the season to be involved in every single competition we entered in. At the start of the season, we're still at the latter stages, so it means every week's a big game, and every time we put a team out in the pitch, it's nearly a must-win situation. So, look, that's what you play football for, and that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
To be in this situation, so it's great, and the players are enjoying it. The players are loving it, I think.
Yeah, and as you say, makes training that wee bit easier. And I would imagine, you know, the knock-on effect for other sides within the club, Gav, and even down to underage level, they're all seeing, you know, the excitement and what can be achieved whenever the first team goes on a run like this.
It does, I'd say, at any club, if the first team's doing well, it has a knock-on effect. Like, and obviously, at Cork Hall at the minute, over the last probably period of 10 years, it has been really good. And it has helped, you know, catapult the club, the level it's at every age group, from, I suppose, under fives up to the senior team. There's hundreds of members, and there's clubs, and they're doing really well, and the club's in a very, very good place. So, look, long may that continue as well.
Yeah. Now, I know your focus and your job is to look after, you know, first team affairs, but I would imagine, you know, off the field, Gavin, you're very much aware of the efforts that are going on behind the scenes to raise funds that are needed now whenever your team is on the national stage like this. I'm sure the support locally has been pretty good.
That's been amazing. Real luck, breath of fresh air, really surprising where, look, the well-wishing and the local community have really, and Inishowen and Donegal have really bought on. They've really got on board, and it just shows what can happen if a club or team from the area is successful on the national stage. It's like everybody wants a piece of it, and everybody wants to be on board, and it has been amazing. It's obviously for the club itself, with the run of fixtures we had in this competition. We've been in Dublin twice and Cork twice this season. Actually, Dublin three times this season. And then obviously the final in Sligo. So there's a lot of travel and a lot of money to do that. But as I say, we couldn't thank the local community enough. It has been unbelievable over the last few weeks, you know.
Yeah, and Cockhill is quickly making a name for itself on the national stage too, Gavin. And I saw last week, you know, three of your squad players called up to the FAI's amateur international side. That's great recognition, isn't it? And it's a thumbs up for all that's been going on at your club.
Hi, at our club and Donegal. Like over the years, I was always sort of disappointed some of the players that didn't get opportunities at national level and especially in the amateur squads and stuff. So I always felt we had good players. We definitely had good players and players that were good enough and probably didn't get the recognition. And I suppose over the last couple of years of what we've been doing nationally has opened the powers that be's eyes up. And like this year especially, like last Saturday, we had Finn McCurley, McColgan and Corey McBride doing with the squad. Actually, Corey scored in the game. So that there is brilliant. From one club, never mind from one county, to have three players, it's brilliant. And look, long may that continue. Yeah. I'd be hopeful we make one or two more on the squad by the end of the season. But
maybe that's been a bit greedy, but I think that we saw players that are good enough to be there.
Yeah,
definitely.
And those players very much part of your squad and playing their part in this brilliant season again, Gavin. I know, listen, yeah. this Saturday is St. Mochta's, but out of the corner of your eye, you're also keeping a watch on Rockmount ahead of the FA Intermediate Cup final, which is Sunday, April 23rd. Not long away, two weeks' time, Gavin, from this Sunday. So the big game's coming thick and fast.
No, it'll not be long coming in. I suppose we do say we're taking one game at a time, but it's very hard to not have your eye on that final. I suppose that's what all the tension and the media and the talk's about. But look, the group of players we have in the squad, we think that we can deal with most games, you know, coming our way. So that's the aim. We're being greedy. We want to win these competitions, and that's the aim of the game. So look, this Saturday, look after yourself. So obviously a league game against Letterkenny in between, which we need to go and win, and then we'll look at the Rockman game after that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I can ask you now to maybe turn towards the League of Ireland action this weekend, Gavin. We'll start with the First Division matches. There's a full programme of games on Friday night. Harps, of course, all the talk this week was, you know, what went on last Friday night down in Waterford. Can we put that one down to a blip, Gavin, and maybe just a bad day at the office?
Geez, I hope so. It's a terrible result, terrible performance. To concede 7 goals at any level is disappointing. I think they just sort of, I know they got Waterford on the hop with a new manager and stuff, but look, it's probably not acceptable, and I'm sure that's been talked about this week within the camp. But they have got, I suppose, as good a fixture as they could ask for in Kerry. This weekend they sort of bounce back, and I feel they really, really need to, because I think a negative result this weekend again sort of leaves you looking at the table, sort of wondering where they're going here, you know. So huge disappointing result, but look, it can happen, and hopefully it's a once-off.
Yeah, let's hope so, because this does give the players an opportunity now to put things right. Gavin, a defeat against Kerry, and all of a sudden, you know, supporters, as much as they want Harps to do well, you know, they'll suddenly be starting to ask some questions.
I do all, of course, supporters being supporters, they want to see a team doing well. Like, it's honourable and everything, if, you know, sticking by a team and supporting them and when they're struggling and stuff like that, and supporters do that, and it's amazing. But at the same time, look, a couple of bad results and you see this crowd dwindling from Park, and it becomes nearly monotonous and tedious for the players and the group to even get up for games. So the last thing you want is very early in the season for that to happen. So I think it's really, really important to get 3 points this weekend for them. I think it's hugely important.
Yeah. And another long journey for them. Gavin, Keith Cowan, his absence has been felt, I'm sure. You know, his experience at the back is key. But they head to a Kerry side who have been struggling, I suppose, this season, let's put it mildly. A draw against who was a Treaty United, that's their only point from a possible 21. So they are themselves seeking a first win of the season. And with home advantage, you just don't know what you're coming up against.
You don't know. I suppose Treaty are a new side. They've been put together for pretty late. They're probably very, very little League of Ireland experience in the squad, and they are going to struggle. It looks like it's probably for them just a bit early, but they have to start somewhere for Harps. Like, the expectation is they'll be able to go beat them, but the two teams are struggling, and you just never know. And home advantage could count in the game, and as the Harps, the players and the young players that they have, the heads could be down from last week. And like, if they were to concede first, you would fear, you know.
Elsewhere in the First Division then, Gavin, Galway United, 7 wins from 7 games, 21 points, no slip-ups so far. Last weekend, they fell behind against Athlone Town, ended up winning by 3-1. We watched them in action against Harps on the opening night, and they've kicked on from then. They do look impressive.
They do look, they've loads of experience right up the middle of their team. They've got players that played in the Premier Division at a good level. Obviously, the management team was on Caulfield and Ollie Horgan have been there, done it, bought the T-shirt, and know all the tricks and how to get points and stuff. And they really look like they're in a great place at the minute. And I would I would safely say that if Waterford put a run together or in that, there's nobody going to touch them in that first division this season, the way it's going.
This weekend, Galway are at Wexford. As I say, one of five matches on Friday night in the first division. We'll look at the Premier Division then, Gavin, before I let you go. You know, you say Galway are in a good place. What about Derry City? Going well in the Premier Division, unbeaten in their seven games so far, but they've dropped points along the way, although last weekend scored a good victory. Sitting pretty in behind Bowes, it makes for interesting reading.
Yeah, it does. Look, I think Derry City are in a brilliant position considering those injuries that they've had so far this season. They look really impressive. They're strong. They're the only unbeaten team in the league, which stands to them. And I think come Friday night, they'll beat Drogheda. Going on to Monday, which is top of the table clash against Bowes, which will be a big one. Actually, Declan Devine coming back as well. Under the Brandywell, it'll add to the fixture. So look, Derry are in a good place. I think with players coming back, they're going to be thereabouts come the end of the season. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and you know what? I know they won't take this one for granted either. Drogheda at home, you'd think home banker, but that hasn't been the case against this Drogheda side, has it, Gavin? Last year, I think there was a few draws, wasn't there?
I don't think there's a banker at all in this league. I don't think any of the teams take any other teams for granted at all. They'll be well prepared and well ready for them. There's no such thing as an easy game in the League of Ireland, as we know.
Yeah, well, Derry play Drogheda 7:45. Again, it's a busy night of action in the Premier Division. Listen, no doubt about it. Excuse me, the standout tie is at Dalymount Park on Friday night, Gavin. Bowes playing host to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, massive game, absolute huge game for Shamrock Rovers. They've got a bit of form. It's a really, really poor start to the season. But again, if they're to get back in any sort of title hunt at this point, they probably need to be taking the 3 points of Bowes. So the gap will obviously be widening if Bowes beat them. So huge, huge game. As we know, we can't write off Shamrock Rovers because the quality in their squad and stuff like that. And the great one last week, 4-0 away to Dundalk, which again will give them a big lift, so that could go anyway, that game.
Indeed it could, and that's probably the situation for all five games in that top division, as you say, Gavin. Yeah. None of them easy to call. Listen, thanks for joining us this evening, Gavin. Always good to talk, and we wish you the best of luck on Saturday. Cockhill Celtic against St Mochta's at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Grounds. 12:30 kickoff, Gavin. That's earlier than originally planned. Yeah. And hopefully a big crowd and the right result. And you're welcome back. The Circuit of Ireland Rally is on this weekend. It's a one-day event this year, taking place on Saturday, headquartered in around the Cookstown area. It's round three of the 2023 Tarmac Rally Championship. And Josh Moffat and Andy Hayes are the top seed. Plenty of big names in the field, and it all gets underway on Saturday morning. And also on Saturday, and much closer to home, we have the Ballyliffin Coastal Challenge. Patsy McGonigal joins me on the line to look ahead to. Patsy, what's always a very enjoyable event?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed, Dermot. And, I'm looking at a nice evening this evening, and fingers crossed that we're going to get a good evening, because, you know, one of the reasons behind the race was the route in and around the coastal area of the Isle of Dogan stuff from the village of Ballyliffin and finishing on the beach. So it's rather unique in that way. And then athletes or runners, joggers, walkers, whatever, they all have an option of 7 miles or 10 miles. So, it's all good. You know, it sold out about 2 weeks ago. So that's all good news as well.
Yeah, sold out, Patsy. That's unreal, isn't it? And you've just outlined probably the reasons why it is. It's a unique event, and it attracts athletes, joggers, and walkers from all arts and parts.
It does, aye, it does. And, you know, when we're talking about sold out, you know, I put 1,000 or 1,100 limit on it, you know, and in the last couple of weeks, I do realise now that I could have probably got rid of 1,500, no bother, you know. So it has stood the test of time. Big, big challenge during the pandemic, you know, when we had to cancel it a few times and go virtual, you know, and then make sure that the virtual thing worked and everybody got their vest or their T-shirt or if they wanted to defer. And I worked very, very hard in that period to keep people on board. because, you know, athletes, people that are joggers, walkers now, they're a wee bit spoiled, and if they don't get the reward for their efforts, and they deserve the reward, obviously, you know, they can get negative on you. So basically, because there are many choices, so survived all that, and now here we are, Saturday morning, 12:30, starting in the village, Ballyliffin. The Ballyliffin Hotel is the headquarters of the race. And the other stuff that I need to get out there, Mitch, is there's people can come along tomorrow from 3 to 5 and collect their chip, and their Brendan McDade will be there with the chips and their numbers and so on. So that's tomorrow. And then we start at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning and close about a quarter to 12. So looking forward to it. And then the other thing we've been doing all over the years is we have children's races on the beach. Once we get them away down the street in Ballyliffin, we head to the beach and not only set up for the finish, but have children's races. So that kind of makes it a bit of a family affair as well. So it's a big touristy thing, it really fills the area.
Yeah, and I can imagine as well, Patsy, when there are so many people involved in terms of entries, you know, you need a lot of help. You need a lot of volunteers to play their part as well, or an event like this just wouldn't happen.
No, that's exactly, you know, that's exactly it. And in the early days, just to get the thing established, I brought the Finn Valley people down with me to just get it really launched, really. But in recent years, I've just put all of the onus back on the local people. There were local people, obviously, back then too, but they had never been involved in a big race before. So now it's totally and absolutely local. And, you know, in the last couple of years, we've been given money. The idea of the race was to raise a few bob for local projects. And for example, last year, give quite a few £1,000 to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And then this year we're given, there's a retirement village over in Clonmany, the Columkill village, and there's money going to that. And then in addition to that, on Saturday night, there's a big band concert as well, to raise a few more bob for the retirement village, you know, for the people of the area. So, you know, it's a nice add-on for people that are coming to stay for the weekend.
Yep, okay. And not an easy race though, Patsy, for those taking part. It's a 10-mile race or a 7-mile race, depending on your preferred distance. So it's a challenge.
Aye, it definitely is a challenge. You know, there's a couple of hills, and I keep getting nearly denying that there are hills. But there are a couple of, I call them inclines. It's a nicer word than hills. Yeah. So there is a couple of inclines, but that's part of the chat, you know, afterwards, obviously. And then the beach, the last 2 miles is on the beach. The beach is in good shape. You know, the tides have been erratic over the winter months, and you're always scared that there won't be a beach because, you know, they, like a lot of other areas, coastal areas, they're getting hit up with erosion, you know, so, you know, into the golf club there. So it's basically, it's in good shape. I'm really pleased as of this afternoon, it's in good shape. So, look, good weather, nice beach. The weather, and you know, you find that people going with the tired legs, they go into the sea for a dead dander as well, you know. So it's a special kind of an event.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, last weekend, Patsy, moving away from Ballyliffin and going on to the international stage, there was a real lilt in your voice when you were talking about the success story over in Poland. And you know, I'm sure all the athletes are back home at this stage, but fair play to them, they've brought home plenty of success and medals to show for all their hard effort.
Aye, that was a good weekend in Poland for the World Masters and Indoors Championships, and all the athletes coming home with medals, you know. And look, they are athletes that have been in the sport a long, long, long time, you know, and it just really emphasises the nature of the sport. If you can come in as a youngster and you can be still there at 60 years of age and competing against other 60-year-olds. And it's a great social event. And the athletes... I found it that there's a great buzz with it, and they really look forward to it all. So, you know, we had Kay Byrne starting the whole show off with a victory in the cross country, and then Sinead McConnell in the indoor three, and then she added then an Irish record in the 10K out on the road, which is an event that's held with the event. And then we had Catherine McDevitt in the relay, and you know, she was unlucky, her team didn't go at full strength, and because they have a really good, with Catherine on board, they have, and her age group, they have a really good Ireland team. And then we had Noreen Bonner. She's been prolific at getting medals in over the years at masters levels, and so on. So it's been Look, it's Katrina, Katrina Devine, 1,500 metres, she got a medal as well. So, look, they all got the reward, you know, and Gavin was there too, and Gavin Boyce from Remelton, he was there as well, and he got a PB, you know. So it was, I'm sure it was a great experience for them. They were buzzing when they came home, and you know, it just again, back to what I said, it's kind of a justification of the sport, and that people can go on and compete at their own level. And you know, Masters Athletics, Dermot, is 5 year story. You know, you come in at 35, so you compete 35 to 40, and then you compete 40 to 45. So that's to explain what the categories are. So
And they're finding themselves up against the best in their age group right across Europe. And further
right
beyond
Europe, and then across the world. Aye, exactly. In this case, we're even talking now about going September for a European event in Pescara in Italy. So, you know, that'll buzz them on again, you know. So it's and they actually make friendships, and they meet people then when they go there again, you know, and then there's more people coming onto it, obviously, through age all the time. And you know, I would encourage there are a couple of other good master athletes in the county who I would also encourage to have a go, you know. They didn't travel this time, but they would enjoy it.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, Patsy, this weekend's event in Ballyliffin is part of a busy schedule of races. You know, the calendar seems to be getting busier all the time, but this is one of the highlights of the year, and it all gets underway at 12:30. And as you mentioned, the race entry's been taken tomorrow. And listen, hopefully everything goes well, and we wish you well.
Nah, just to emphasise, it's sold out. There are no more entries being taken, just in case people are standing looking at me, looking to get in there. There just aren't any more places. I'm very sorry about that, but that's life.
Okay.
Thank you, Dermot.
Thank you very much, Patsy McGonigal there. That Ballyliffin Coastal Challenge, the race starts on Saturday at 12:30. And if you're going to that, we wish you well, and enjoy the event if that's at all possible. Well, I mentioned those local soccer fixtures as well before we finish up. A mention of some of the big games at junior level. Fannagh United going so well in the Premier Division of the Donegal League. They are in action on Sunday. A big game for them. They travel to play Castlefin Celtic. They're involved in a real battle at the top of the table, along with Kilmacrenan and Celtic, who don't play this weekend. The other match in the Premier Division is Kildrum Tigers against Rathmullen Celtic. In the Inishowen Football League, we have plenty of games as well. There's action actually on Good Friday. A couple of games in the Strand Hotel Division 1 on Friday evening. Clonmany Reserves against Greencastle, and Buncrana Reserves play Carndonagh. There's games as well in Division 2 and Division 2B. On Sunday, perhaps the big game is in the Jackie Crossan Premier Division. Buncrana Hearts play host to Greencastle. That game is at 2 o'clock. There's action as well in the Strand Hotel Division 1 and the Donegal Science Challenge Cup semi-final, Cairn FC against Cockhill. That game kicks off at 2 o'clock. In Gaelic games as well here in Donegal, plenty of club action. We had the first round of fixtures in the Donegal All-County Leagues last weekend, and again, there's a full programme of matches taking place over the coming days. There's one game on Friday, by the way. Niamh Colm Kill play Niamh Padraic of Lifford on Friday evening. That's at 7:45. Then there are games on Saturday, including the meeting in Division 1 of Niamh Connell and Killybegs, which throws in at 5 o'clock. And in Division 1 then, there's plenty of games on Sunday. Among them, Gweedore against Sean McCool's. Gweedore had a good win away to St Michael's to open their campaign. Éire Ballyshannon also opened with a victory against Kilcar last weekend. They go on their travels to play Clonmany. And among the other matches, Mallon play Glenfinn, Kilcar play Bundoran, and St Eunan's play St Michael's. All those games on Sunday throw in at 3 o'clock. That's about it for this evening. Thanks to all my guests for coming on tonight's programme. Thanks to Joe for engineering, and thanks to you for listening, of course. Enjoy the bank holiday weekend, and good luck to you or your team if you're in action over the coming days. Chris Ashmore will be in studio with our next bulletin after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning. From myself, Jeremy Doherty, bye bye.